Well, good afternoon to everyone. Welcome to everyone online. Welcome to Eureka. Hi, folks. We just chatted last week. It's nice to see you. Where's the camera? There's the camera. What a feast day. It's so nice seeing friends and family we haven't seen in so many years. Time gone by. What a joy. What a pleasure. It truly is. I was reminded of years ago, we used to have the Bay Area get together, and we'd have 2,000 people for the feast days. One of these days, we'll have everybody in the Bay Area. One of these days. For those of you who are recording, oh, I need my timer. You want me to have my timer. I'll just say that. I'm an observationist. I like to see cause and effect, especially about myself. I like to see action and consequence. I like to know why things happen. And if they happen for good, I want to repeat them. And if they aren't so good, I want to avoid them. We learn a lot by observation. We do. I live by observation. I'm a cheater, by the way. If I need something and you have done all the research, I'll just saddle up to you, I'll talk to you, and I'll get your information, and then I'll make my decision. I don't do the research. You did. I go by observation. I want to tell a little story on myself. To start out, back a few years, back in 2019, I experienced an old man's malady, gout. And for those of you who have never had this, you do not want this. Gout is no fun. It is debilitating. Gout is caused by excessive uric acid crystals forming in the joints of your extremities, knuckles and toes and elbows, but mostly the feet. So 2019, I was not able to walk. For 4 months, I couldn't wear shoes. I couldn't have my feet under the sheet. I went to the feast with these floppy things that had my toes leaking out, because they were comfortable. It's known as the old man's disease. Older men who tend to carry a little extra weight. Thank you. They are inclined to get this. A mere 5% of women may get gout. Again, you do not want this. It's a nasty thing. My foot swelled. The knuckle of the big toe was inflamed. It was hard to impossible to walk. I had the first bout for about 4 months. I went to the feast in floppy shoes. I had been anointed, and for that time, God said, no, I'm good with this. And I dealt with it. I discovered a list of triggers that cause gout, and I started to enact against the triggers and work my way against back away from it, reduce and follow the list. And eventually, it went away, and I was relieved. I rejoiced when I could actually put on my shoes. Then in 2021, having recovered from COVID, by the way, you don't want that either. That is a nasty thing. I was recovering from a COVID attack. The gout came back. Oh, man. And as I remember, we're going to come back to that word, it came back with a vengeance. It was bouncing from one foot to the other. It was so bad, one time I couldn't make the drive up to Eureka. I just couldn't drive. It was in my right foot, and you know, that's the pedal, gas and brake. You just don't want to drive with that foot. It was a nasty thing. I was anointed once more. This time, the very next day, the gout was completely gone. The foot no longer swollen, no longer red. It was gone. I rejoiced. But I hadn't changed my lifestyle. It seems that during my COVID recovery, and I had a sore throat, and there was rawness in my throat, I had gotten back to carbonated, commercial, chemical-based beverages. And again, remember, gout is excessive uric acid. So I figure it's what liquids I put in my system. But it felt so good and so soothing. And I started with one a day. Two a day, four a day, and the gout came back. I had lost my voice for 2 weeks, and This was so soothing, so comforting. But I had observed over time, these beverages weren't good for me. And they felt so good. They relieved the hoarseness, the rawness. But it returned, the gout returned. And I immediately remembered my observation of what I was intaking into my system, and I stopped, and the gout went away. The gout simply went away. I remembered what took place. I remembered cause and effect, action and consequence. And I went back to water, milk, organic juices, and the occasional pot of tea that I would brew for myself. The gout was discouraged, and it left. I remembered, I acted, and I changed. Today, I still have the urge. Oh, I think all of us do. The chemical-based, commercially available beverages are filled with caffeine and sugar. The moment I see a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi or a diet, or another diet, never diet, but Dr. Pepper, my system goes, I remember that was good. It was fun to drink. I stop and I look at my feet and I said, never again. I do this. I do have that desire, that urge, that impulse to have it again. I just look at my feet and I said, never again. I can't. I can't go back to the pain. I can't go back to the suffering that I had, the disagreeable inconvenience. I can't do that. So when I look at my feet, I simply deny myself. All I have to do to protect myself is remember. All I have to do to protect myself is remember. And I surmise everyone in this room has experienced situations where they have an action, consequence, cause and effect, and they, by remembering the bad part of it, have moved away from the event. I think everyone in this room has done that. I don't think any of us misses out on that opportunity. Now, back at the Exodus, at the introduction to the days of unleavened bread, God told Moses to tell the people something. I already told you what the word is. He told the people to remember. He told them to remember the day they were released from Egypt. Remember, it's important. I'm not going to turn there, but Exodus 13:3 says, and Moses said to the people, Exodus 13:3, you might want to turn there. Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Verse 8, and you shall tell your son or tell your children in that day, saying, this is done, eating unleavened bread, because of what the Lord did for me when I came up out of Egypt. It's interesting to note that eating unleavened bread is part of the obligation as a seven-day reminder of the blessing and the mercy of God, that He took Israel out of Egypt. I'll get it right. I haven't had unleavened bread in a while, so you know, it fogs up the memory. You know, and the personal stories of God's intervention must be told to their children. Deuteronomy 6, we can go there. I will go there. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. Sometimes we think we go through things, we remember things, we hold it in, but they need to be shared. They need to be shared with our children, especially, and with one another. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us up from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he may might preserve us alive as it is this day. We tell the story of time and past. We read the histories in the Bible. We also share our own stories. I go back to my story starts when I was 14. I've been at this a while. And I am not shy when I talk to my girls about my past, where I was at 14 and where I might have been headed at 14, and where God intervened and changed my life. You know, we tell our children in the hope and prayer that our children, that our young ones will come to own this way of life. You can't force it, but we can certainly pray about it. Israel saw God intervene on their behalf with the Egyptians, saw the administration of the 10 plagues that included the death of the firstborn. They saw the miracle upon miracle until basically they were kicked out of Egypt, the land of bondage. And then they were told, remember, remember. There are lessons for us to learn. I'm almost reminded of the Star Trek movie where Commander Spock is dying and he lays hand on Dr. McCoy and he says, remember. You know, he gives him his consciousness. This is more important. This is eternal life. We're told to remember. As an SPS, what were they told to remember? Why were they told to remember? And how does that connect to us today, thousands of years later, here at the Days of Unleavened Bread? Good questions. I'm glad you asked. Let's explore. Let's explore. So, what are they to remember? We note that in Exodus 13, Israel was to remember the day they were released from Egypt from bondage. From bondage. It was done through God's intervention, through his might, through his power. Israel had none. They were slaves. They were unorganized. There was no national structure, no national strength, no army. Oh, they are accounted into the millions, but they were slaves. They had to be rescued by God's power. It says, by strength of the hand of the Lord, not by their puny power, nor by their strength. Deuteronomy 5, I should have stayed there. You're probably there. Deuteronomy 5, here in the middle of enumerating the Ten Commandments, we're going to start looking at what were they to remember. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. Right after we're told to remember the Sabbath day, it's been centuries since they kept the Sabbath. Now they were told to remember what they had lost. Verse 15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember that you were once slaves. He was stating again that you needed a redeemer. You needed to be saved. What a thing to remember. How important it is to remember the past. Over a few pages to Deuteronomy 16. This is stated again, this time in referencing to Pentecost, because it is a theme throughout the Bible. Remember where you came from. Remember where you're going. Remember the power of God. How important is that? Deuteronomy 16, verse 9. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. He's talking about the Feast of Weeks and such. Verse 12. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. Remember, you were once helpless. And if you are helpless, you tend to be hopeless. And if you are hopeless, you tend to stop. You come to a halt. They were overworked, underfed, burdened slaves to another nation. And God says, I rescued you. Remember this day. Remember where you were. Remember your past. I then rescued you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. They were to remember that they were slaves, remember that they, the day that they were rescued, and remember the rescuer. You can throw in Deuteronomy 24, 18 and verse 22. Again, it is so important to mention, remember you were once slaves. Remember you were once slaves and that God rescued you. I look back when I was 14. And I, frankly, I knew the direction I was going. And I kind of think it would be short-lived, frankly. I am very grateful that God intervened in my life. So the remember what was to remember the rescue and to remember that we were once slaves. Why? That's the second question. Why? Why the requirement? Why the command? Why the reminder to remember? The human being has a natural proclivity to forget. You talk to some old codger like me, and we say, well, yeah, back in the good old days. Well, some of you young people, this will be your good old days. And 20, 30, 40 years from now, you're only going to remember the good old days. You're only going to remember the good. Because the human proclivity is to put aside the bad. It really is. We forget the bad. We forget things in our past. We forget the bad times. We, along with that, we forget the lessons. We have the good old days, but in reality, we just remember what we want to remember. You know, kids growing up, they have selective memory or selective hearing too, for that matter. Well, we have that as well. We have selective memory for what we want to remember. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Boy, if I keep going at this pace, we'll be eating quick. Deuteronomy 8. You know, you start out with 1,000 scriptures and then you whittle down to get the message. But if you whittle too fast, everybody here will like me. We'll see. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. To humble you, to test you, to prove you. You will remember so that God would know what's in our heart. 4 through 10, we read the impact of those 40 years where clothes didn't wear out and God was bringing us into a great land. I want to jump over to verse 10. For when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget, the opposite of remember. Do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, when you are satiated, when you're satisfied, when you're compliant to the society around you, when you're comfortable, and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You know, we stop sometimes and everything is going real well and we put our effort into it and we think, we did it all. And that's when we should stop and say, I remember where I was. And I remember that God rescued me. I remember where I was God is my rescue, and it's by his might and power I am here using my talents and skills. And you shall remember, verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. We remember that we needed rescue. We remember that we were slaves. We remember the action, the activities that God had in our lives to humble us and test us and to allow things in our lives for our good. That's what it says, for our good. When people forget where they came from, they forget who they are. They forget where their power and strength truly comes from. They forget where their protection comes from. And they merely join the masses around, moving away from God, thinking that they did this or that. And in fact, it was God who helped and strengthened them all along. What's missing here when God says, remember me that I saved you, is a relationship with God. It gets down to having a one-on-one relationship with God, having God and Jesus Christ in our lives. We go over the Passover when we talk about God and Jesus Christ being one, and he says, Jesus Christ says, I want them, us, to be one with one another and with us. It's time to have a relationship with God. Remember his rescue of us. Remember his rescue of us. Israel was told to remember. They were once slaves in need of rescue, and the day of their rescue, they were told to remember. Israel had no power, no strength. They had to rely on God for their rescue, for their protection, for their salvation. And they look back and they have an experience with God. And they learn something, because for 420 years, they didn't have God in their life. God had to teach them his way, reteach them the Ten Commandments, teach them a relationship so that they trusted him. I look back and I can tell you dozens of times when God intervened in my life. Clearly, it was God who intervened for me. I have a trust in God I can't pass on to others, because that is a growing relationship, one-on-one. I remember the experiences that I've had with God in my life. I remember where I was when he intervened and rescued me from the direction I was going. I remember the day I was redeemed. I remember that I was once a slave to this world, and I was pretty much on that path, and God redeemed me. God says remembering is very important, lest we forget. James Coates was my first pastor. This is in Lakeland, Florida. 4 years of home study, we found out there was a church in the next city. Like you, distances didn't matter. It was just 30 minutes away, 35 minutes away, something like that. James Kuntz, my first last day of unleavened bread, if I could say it that way, he related a story from that week. He said after the first day of unleavened bread and Passover, night to be much observed, the Sabbath, and he went to work. Well, his job was visiting, and he would have an elder go with him, and they would go visiting, and they got into the habit of their visit. And at noontime, he turned to his associate and said, we have to stop and go repent. Their habit was to start their morning at the donut shop. And it was a habit. And they munched on their donuts, and they went to their first visit, and what's very interesting is, in bringing this up, I've done a study into lifestyles and habits. 40% of our life is habitual. We don't think about it. We act or react based on habit in our life. Their habit was to stop at the donut shop and start their day. What have we done with the 40% of our time? Can we, nobody has a perfect memory, right? Right? I don't. And if I act or react a certain way, it's because maybe I've forgotten something. I like the idea of making that 40% habitual, which is God-centered. So I don't think about it. I don't think about it. Hebrews 5:14. Verse 12. This became my mantra. This became my driving centered thought when I began serving in the ministry as a pastor. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, everyone in this room, sometime you are going to be the teacher of what you're being taught. Everyone in this room is going to be a teacher. By now you ought to be teachers, but now you need someone to teach you again the first principles. In verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Have their senses exercised, meaning that they have gone through and created habits within their lives so that this happens, I react this way. This happens, I react that way. 40% of our life should be habitual. And we can make it so that it reflects on remembering God who saved us and that we once were slaves to this world. How does, going on to my third part of this, looking at my time, how does this remembering connect us to this last day of unleavened bread? How does this connect us to the last day of unleavened bread? We are to remember the day we were redeemed. We do that when we participate in the Passover. We reflect on the incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our rescuer. He overcame Satan. He overcame the world so that, favorite phrase, so that we can also be conquerors over this world, having his Holy Spirit in us. We are to remember that we once were slaves to sin, slaves to that demented adversary who will do anything to keep us under his control. Throw every distraction, every temptation our way. Do anything to keep us entertained and engaged and away from God. Did you have a good day today? Did anything happen to you on the way here? I heard that there was some hiccups here at the hall. Yeah. I remember one Feast of Tabernacles. We were going to Sacramento, and I thought it would be great to have the upper floor, the
penthouse suite,
and have the choir over and have people over. It was going to be the first time we were going to do this. And I kept calling the Hilton. It was a new Hilton property. And I called him. Yes, you're scheduled. Yes, got it. Yes, yes, yes. Good, 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 good. We get there. And you know how your room is not made up? Sometimes you have to wait. The upper two floors weren't finished. Our reaction had to be, oh, well, what do you got for us? We were ready to whatever God gave us. Yeah, they didn't finish the upper two rooms. I did go visit. You got all that construction to walk around. It would have been nice. But God said, no, not this year. Not this year. We remember that we were once part of this world, and Satan will throw anything and everything to entertain and keep us engaged away from God. We were forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were reconciled to God the Father by his death, and we were saved by his life. Those are the things to remember, not the things in this world. We must also remember we were rescued, redeemed, reconciled back to God, and we are becoming one with God and Jesus Christ. That changes our perspective on life, doesn't it? It should. What's important to this world isn't important to us today. We remember these things so that we have a relationship with God. One based on love, one based on care, one based on mercy and trust. I can't begin to tell you some of the experiences I've had where I just said, Father, I'm in your hands, and whatever happens, happens. And I've seen incredible gift there. We are to remember in every situation that God is in control. God is never out of control. He is never distracted. He never sleeps. We're to recall to mind that He, our God, our Father, has only our best interests in mind. And though He may allow things that we may not want in our lives, as we just read, it's for our good, so that we can continue the journey toward His kingdom. So that we can continue the journey toward His kingdom. 2 Peter 3. This help if I was in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Now, I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, bringing to your remembrance. There are things that we need to energize in our minds so that we are in concert with God. I'm stirring up your pure minds by way of reminder that you may be mindful. Other translations say that you remember of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lusts, saying, as was brought up in the first message, saying, well, I lost my place. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Hey, we got plenty of time. I don't need to remember everything that's going on in my life. I just need to remember when to go to work, when to eat. For this, verse 5, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were old and the earth standing out of water and in water by which the world that then existed perished. Being flooded with water. They forgot. God ended the world back then when all there was bad attitude like that. We're to remember the prophets, the commandments of God, the apostles, what they wrote, and then not choose to be willfully forgetful. There's a big change in us. We are to remember God's rescue. Remember that we once were slaves to Satan. And that demented being is brilliant. We do not begin to understand how brilliant Satan is in working each of us individually, getting our pressure points and our buttons pushed. I won't begin to tell you mine. I don't have enough time. Hebrews 8. What takes place now, what Israel did not have, we have. We have the ability to keep in mind, to remember. Hebrews 8, verse 7. For at that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. The fault of the first covenant was the people, the inability for them to follow through with what they said they would follow through. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. They did not continue. They did not remember my covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And I will have mercy to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. The new covenant will be written on the inside. By the way, it does away with the idea that the law was hammered to the cross because it's inside us. The law of God was not hammered to the cross, as some would want to say. The new covenant is now inside us. And I now say we can't forget. It's our choice. We bring up to mind John 14. Here's a discussion dealing with God's Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that is going to be given to us. John 14, verse 25. Jesus Christ is encouraging his disciples as he is getting ready to depart. He had care for them, even though he was going to face an incredible, horrific ordeal. John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. God tells us to remember that we were redeemed. He tells us to remember that we once were slaves to Satan. And God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us remember our past. And that Holy Spirit then gives us the strength to overcome and go forward. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, I'm giving you my peace. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the coming King of Peace. I am bringing the kingdom of peace. How exciting that is. We are to remember that we are not alone, that we now have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit residing in us, and that we are to be one with God and with Jesus Christ. Have this mind in you, which is the same spirit, same mind as in Christ. Philippians 2. We are to remember the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he redeemed us from our state of bondage. He freed us from the sin which so easily besets us. We are to remember our calling and election, making both sure, because life is very serious. Life is very serious. We have to remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, through the power of God, regardless of the situation and the struggle and the size of the trial we face. Israel had a huge trial right off the bat. Pharaoh wanted to take advantage of it. Mountains to the left of him, mountains to the right of him. Egypt's coming behind him, and a lake, the body of water in front of him. Couldn't get any worse. And right from the start, God said, I'm your Redeemer. I will save you. Learn to trust me. Remember where you came from. We observe the holy days every year. Every year, we remember the plan of God. We rehearse these things every year. We put them in our minds. Every year, we are humbled when we recall his love, his power, and his glory. We are encouraged to continue this journey, knowing God is in charge. He doesn't fail. He doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't miss opportunities. As Israel, if we want to remain faithful and growing in grace and knowledge and not be a forgetful hearer, we remember. We remember God in our lives. We remember where we came from. We remember our rescue. Let's close with James 1, right after Hebrews. James 1. James 1, verse 25. James 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, remembers it, continues, works with it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does. He will be blessed in all that he does. We're to look into God's word, his plan, and to continue and to remember, to call to mind, to look at that relationship we have with God and remember his interventions. I could write a book of what he's done for me, but then I would expose a lot of myself. Don't really want to do that. But I think each and every one of us can write a book on how God intervened and how God has saved us. And by bringing those things to mind, we remember, we learn to trust, we engender a relationship, a deep relationship, a one-on-one relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And when we don't forget God's word, as he says in James, that person will be blessed. Remembering keeps us humble. Remembering helps encourage us. Remembering gives us confidence. Remembering gives us a wonderful perspective. God told Israel to remember where they came from and who saved them, who rescued them. That advice works down through the ages for us today. Talk to you afterward.